Haven't heard one in a while, and you played beautifully. Our singers took us there. And for the first time in my ministry career, I follow Ellen White. That's a tall order. Sister Candelaria is a neighbor of mine in Maryland, and we never see each other except when we're out somewhere. That's how it is. God bless you, Sister Candelaria, for your gift and for sharing it. Camp meeting. Are you sure you're ready? Because the Lord is coming. He has tarried long enough. We all know what to say, but we don't always know what to do. And like my father used to say, talk is cheap. Oh, you know it too. That's a saying in Canada as well. Talk is cheap. It's easy to say. You know, like at funerals, people say a lot of things they don't really mean. They go to the funeral service and the family's grieving. And what do the friends say? Anything. Anything you need, just let me know. Right? Okay. And I had presided over a funeral, and we were all grieving together, and the family couldn't quite make the cost of the funeral. They needed money. So someone said, anything, anything at all. Well, we're short $5,000. Oh, well, we'll pray for you. See, sometimes we say anything, but we really don't mean it. It's just our simple way of stumbling to say, we love you, we care. So just say that. We love you. We really care about your grief. And we're going to pray for you and support you in any way that we can, right? Because not always can we do everything. And it's nice to come in with a hot dish or something, you know, and the family's not up to cooking right now. And you do the little things. That's what matters. We're so used to talking. Talk is cheap. When it comes time to do, that is what matters. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with your might. Now Nike says, do it, just do it, as long as you're wearing our tennis shoes. But the Lord came up with it first. Do it. What you waiting on? Go do it with all your might. The time for doing is now. I've been an evangelist over 30 years. And I'm tired of congregations who expect me to do their work for them. You know, we had the Rojas meetings. And they weren't very successful. That just means you didn't do anything. We expect the evangelist to come into a secular world that's no longer sure that God exists. And you want them to baptize people for you? And then they come into your church. Who are you? I got baptized. I don't believe you. It's amazing. Nominating committee comes up, and what happens? They're baptized too recently. Don't elect them to anything, even if they have the gifts. Why? Because that one family doesn't want to let go of the eldership. Ooh. I don't know anybody, so if the shoe fits, put it on. There are families, well, we've been the eldership for 34 years, and you let go. Sometimes that newly baptized person is filled with the Holy Ghost. That 13-year-old child should be a full deacon, not a junior deacon. Well, I never. Exactly, you've never tried it. I was pastoring a district in California, and one of my 14-year-old boys, gifted, responsible, brought him up to nominating committee. We need to make him a full deacon. Elder, he's 14. His voice is barely changing. And I say, what scriptural reference do you have to prove that a child cannot be filled with the Holy Ghost? When children throughout Scripture are filled with the Holy Ghost, the Lord doesn't ask how old Josiah is, 8 years old, when he becomes king of Israel. Does that make you uncomfortable? I hope so. Because we're at camp meeting. We're not on vacation, right? We talked about that. You gave me permission this morning. Now, I'm not here to insult anyone. I'm here to talk basic issues that affect us worldwide. And the beauty is, I don't know anybody specifically. It's not right to refer to us directly. I don't know what you're talking about, but just think carefully about what God is doing worldwide. This boy, they refused to make him a deacon. Within 2 months, I noticed he had a beeper. This was in the 80s. So what's up with the beeper, dude? Oh, I just, I like. What? Well, you know. I said, do you sit down? We talked all night. Every Sunday, he would pick up 2 kilos of cocaine. He would cut it, package it, recruit distributors, make $5,000 in sales per week, pay his distributors, pay himself, and the mafiosa in town was getting his major cut from his cocaine brought in from Mexico. Now, the devil knew this kid's gifts, but the church nominating committee refused to recognize his gifts. If we do not mobilize our people, the devil will. So what's it going to be? No, I think she needs more time. No, she doesn't. Connect her with a mentor and select her. Let her demonstrate her calling. People have raw gifts among us. And it's okay to let go of the eldership. It really is. You know, I've never been an elder. I've never been elected an elder. Never did a nominating committee think I was qualified. No, not him. We need to pray for him, not put him as an elder. I've never been elected a deacon. He's always late. He'll never show up for his turn. The only thing I've never been elected youth leader. I was the youth director of the North American division, but no church dared put me in as a youth director. He's far too liberal because I was happy with the kids. I'd be with the kids like, what, dude, did you study your lesson or what? No, I knew it, so we're going to study it today. Can't run, can't hide. No, that's far too aggressive with our kids. You know the only thing I was ever elected to in the church? Ever in my life. Junior leader. I'm actually a children's specialist. The world thinks that I'm a youth specialist. Shh. Don't tell anybody. Sometimes we don't elect people because we can't see what God wants. We're too busy thinking about what we want. If we want our churches to awaken, maybe it's time to think new. But it frightens us because anything new must be wrong. This is how we've done it for 47 years. Yes, think about it. And how much has the church grown? Well, we won't go there, but we're still praying about it. Einstein said, think of this. The definition of insanity is when you continue to do the same thing and expect new results. If you just elect my family again to the eldership and we do everything and run another pastor out of town, then we'll finish God's work. No, you're finishing yourselves off. Now, I don't know that you've done that. Don't look at me this way. Don't be offended. I'm not after you. I'm just alarmed that worldwide something has happened to us that we've stopped doing. We only talk and we're not doing. I had an elder come up to me one day. You know, we drove out Elder so-and-so and we forced Elder so-and-so into an early retirement. Then he looks at me and he says with a smile, "You're next." L.A. came into me. I grabbed him by the lapels and pinned him against the wall and said, "You don't talk to the man of God that way."
"Oh, sorry."
"All right then. Let's go to church." He became my fast friend. We became close buddies. You know, when we met, you scared me to death. I go, "You scared me too. You don't be scaring LA like that." Then the Washington, D.C. side of me came out. "All in favor, say aye." No, that's not the... I didn't say that. But there are people today who are proud. They knocked down a minister of the gospel. We are losing pastors worldwide at alarming numbers. That is not acceptable. People who have trained, who responded to God's call, who did their degrees, who went through the hoops, who proved themselves, demonstrated their calling, and then they have to be thrown out or quit or resigned. Or... talk is cheap. It's time to do. You know, that's why we're focusing on Jesus this week. If you're going to go, you have to think of who sent you, why he sent you, and what he gives you for the journey. So this series is simple. You see, it seems I've imagined him all of my life to have been the wisest of all of mankind. But if God's holy wisdom seemed foolish to man, he must have seemed out of his mind. I mean, even his family said he was mad. The priest said the demons to blame. God, in the form of this strange young man, could not have been perfectly sane. We in our foolishness thought we were wise. He played the fool and he opened our eyes. When we in our weakness believed we were strong, he became helpless to show we were wrong. And so we follow God's own fool. And only the foolish can tell. Believe beyond believable. Come, be a fool as well. So lay down your life for a carpenter's son. For a man there who died for a dream. You'll have the faith his first followers had, and you will feel the weight of the beam. So surrender the hunger to say I must know, the courage to say I believe, for the power of paradox opens our eyes and blinds those who say they can see. We in our foolishness thought we were wise. He played the fool. And he opened our eyes. When we in our weakness believed we were strong, he became helpless to show we were wrong. And so we follow God's own fool. And only the foolish can tell. Believe. Believe beyond believable. Come, be a fool as well. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for going before us. What appears foolishness to man, as the Apostle Paul said, is actually the wisdom of God. May we choose your wisdom, Lord, and never assume it is foolishness. Lord, we want to be like Jesus. Speak clearly, simply, in his name we ask. Amen. This morning we talked about light. If you're going to go in the name of Jesus, you must be able to see the path and see what's coming. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus is the light of the world. And that's why you and I count on that light as we launch the journey. It is not the torch that we pass, it's what? It's the flame. The light gets passed from one person to another. So that's how we can pass the light out in our city, in our town, out there amidst our fields. I notice it's harvest time. Bales are going up. The big giant rolls. I have some friends down south who would love to have a few of them in their acreage. I have 100 cows and no pasture. But that's another story. Brothers and sisters, I want to talk about you'll need water for the journey. Are you aware that 71% of the planet is covered in water? 71% of planet Earth is water. And 92% of that water is the oceans, salt water that you and I can't drink. Are you aware that most of the animal life lives in the ocean on this planet? There are more animals underwater than animals above the water on land and air. In fact, there are so many animals, we still don't know everything that's down there. The oceans are so deep, so formidable, that we have not yet explored them. I went to the highest mountain on Earth. President of the Guam Micronesia Conference, a dear friend of mine, a New Yorker, Elder Louis Torres, says, I want to take you to the highest mountain. It's a little hill there in Guam, but it's along the Mariana Trench, the deepest trench on planet Earth. I stood on the hill and he says, it is further down to the bottom than Mount Everest is high. It is so deep, we don't even know what's down there. In fact, we know more about space than we know about the sea. And space is out there. But it's hard to get things deep into the water because they get crushed with the pressure. And it is so intensely dark that lights become useless. The power of water is that it's most of the planet that we live in. And as the ocean evaporates, it forms clouds, and then the condensation occurs, and then the water falls to the land as fresh water from heaven. And that feeds our streams, that feeds our snow, our snowpack on the mountains, our lakes, and our natural springs. Water sustains all the life on this planet. California is in its worst drought in 1,200 years. That's my home state. Right now, at a 40-minute drive from my parents' house at the Pomo Reserve in Northern California, there is a fire that's at almost 80,000 acres in size and began just the day before yesterday. You see, when there's no water, everything dies. And they had 200 or 300 bolts of lightning hit the mountains without rain. That's attitude clouds. They just come throw lightning, but no rain. And just lit the mountains up. There are 46 fires burning in California and counting. Our record was 300 fires. I think we're going to surpass it. Water is life. The absence of water takes away life. I was out with a professor from Washington Avenue University. We were in Phoenix, Arizona. I had to speak for 4 graduations all over the state. I don't know how it all happened, but I got to visit 4 schools. And any excuse to visit a school. Have you been to your school? Talk is cheap. Go visit your school. Go to the Christmas program and see the first graders do their little tambourine thing and Jesus loves me and say, that's right. That's Jennifer's kid. Amen. Go. Experience it at 4 schools. The professor went with me just for fun because we were going to go and argue the geologic column at the Grand Canyon. But before then, we were in Phoenix. We stopped at a Taco Bell, as you know, for true fellowship. We went across the street onto the desert floor, the Sonoran Desert with cactus everywhere, and we both, like little boys, knelt. He's 87. We both knelt, elbows and knees on the ground, looking at a little plant that's over 30 years old. That little plant survives on a microscopic dot of water every year. As we studied adaptation in the Sonoran flora, we got into the entomology, the scorpions, the bugs, the other things that live, the beetles under the rocks, at what time of day and at what temperatures. It's exciting stuff. People would talk about, like, those two guys are kneeling in the dirt. And there we were, look at this thing. And people just walk on these. And they've been here for years, and they're so delicate because they live on the minutest little droplet of water that falls on it once a year. This little tiny plant. If it grew big, it would never survive. Water is life. Now, let's look at the human body. You're aware that 8% of your body is made up of chemical compounds, vital minerals, what we refer to as vitamins. Vital minerals. Doesn't that make sense? 8% of your body. You have enough phosphor in your body to make 8 matches. You can light the world up if you had to. Okay. There are 13 essential vitamins required by the body. 20% of our body is bone and solid tissue, and so you have now 28%. Guess what the rest of the body, the 72%, is? Pure water. Now, the older you get, that number drops. Because with a few exceptions, but muscle becomes thinner and leaner and there's less water mass in your body. But folks like me are still right at 72% for a while longer, if not 74 or 5. See, water, and there are even people who get treated for water retention. Notice that the body relies on water. For example, all of your internal organs are like a sponge. Your brain is 75% water. That means if you drain all the water out of your brain, it's only 1/4 its size. I think I've already reached that. Because when my wife is hurt with me, she says, if you had half a brain, which means, see, I only have a quarter of a brain. And if I just had half a brain... We require water to live. Water is life. Water is life. Are you aware that your body needs 8 glasses minimum per day? I'm not talking about juice. I had 3 juices. That's all great. You need glasses of water. But I dropped a powder Kool-Aid just to flavor. No. You need plain, good old-fashioned water. Are you aware that even in the throat, as the water hits your mouth, your body begins to absorb it? It's the only substance that the body can absorb from several orifices. Praise the Lord. Why? Because our body needs water to live. Which would kill you first? Going without water or going without food? Water. Dehydration will kill you much quicker than hunger. Brothers and sisters, we require water to survive. Now, here's the power. We talked about light this morning. When the sunlight is out, if you do 10 minutes, you work in the garden, 10, 15 minutes, expose yourself to UVB rays, ultraviolet B as in Bob rays. If you are exposed to those rays and it hits your skin, are you aware? Now, this is pretty exciting stuff. That your skin produces a cholesterol that is known as a compound. I just want to make sure I do it right. It's a cholesterol that's produced that has a D component in it. When you are exposed to the ultraviolet ray for 10, 15 minutes, what happens is it gets into your bloodstream. Because you have been drinking plenty of water and your blood is flowing freely like it's supposed to, and not sludgy because you've only had 1 glass of water today, now you're benefiting with the circulation as that compound makes its way to your liver and it goes to your kidneys. Finally, at that point, it is converted and it arrives in your pancreas as vitamin D. Now, you know what the power of that is? Vitamin D oversees the production of 2 things. Regulates calcium and phosphorus in your body. And you could always spot vitamin D deficiency. The bones become fragile and thin and misshapen. Teeth become fragile. They can just break. So vitamin D is a good thing. Now, if you overdo the sun, those same ultraviolet rays will burn you and can kill you because it can cause melanoma. Melanoma is one of the more, there's three different types that are the most common, and they're very aggressive. And many of our families have been touched by this terrible disease. So it's not about going out and tanning. Why would you all want to look like me? I just thought I'd throw it in. Everybody wants to look like me. They're laying out there. Toast. Toast. Don't go to a tanning booth because you might hurt yourself. That's what fanaticism is. When you take a good thing too far. When you get stuck on one thing and you go too far. My brothers and sisters, if you have the right amount of sun and you're drinking your water, you produce vitamin D. And also, vitamin D, the Mayo Clinic reports, can prevent several types of cancer. And when you produce vitamin C, when you intake vitamin C with the types of food you eat, that also helps your immune system and produces and resists other diseases. And so on and so forth, vitamin A, vitamin E, these vital minerals that are driven through our body through water. Now, may I be open with you? Haven't I been all along? But when I need your permission, it's because it's going to be something more mature among us, right? I have your permission. Okay. You know, after you turn 50, the issue of irregularity. That one day you walked out of the washroom, thank you, Lord. You had a good day, right? But there were other days that you didn't want to see anyone for the rest of the day, and perhaps you went to see your physician, right? Most of that, not all of it, but most of that can be prevented by drinking your water. Some of you suffer with diverticulitis, a condition of the intestine, of the bowel. The diverticuli become inflamed. Drink water. There are people with memory problems. Students, man, I studied and studied, and I still bombed the test, man. Did you drink water? No, I just drank caffeine for 3 days. So you drink a diuretic, which further dumps the water out of your system. And now with a dry brain, you want to pass this test. If you drink water, you can think more clearly. So the next time someone hurts your feelings, bring me a bottle of water. Get some water into your system. Get some oxygenated blood to go into your brain so that this whole limbic response of emotion that's releasing norepinephrine and other chemicals from your prefrontal lobe to your temporal lobe, and as you're beginning to feel the muscle, water, increase oxygenation, blood, and then someone says, we got to pray. Amen. The Holy Ghost can work with that brain. Increased oxygenated blood to your brain at a moment of crisis. Follow? When I teach this course at a college, when the class lets out, after the bell rings, everyone runs out to get to buy water, to go to the drinking fountain, and I see them with bottles of water for the rest of the quarter. Water is life. You see, water controls calories. Water will energize your muscles by bringing the glucose as it needs right there at the time you need the energy. Water makes your skin look good, ladies. And here you've been spending $400 on those creams. If you just drank your water, you'd only spend $100 on those creams. I won't tell. I don't know who has the creams. But water actually improves the skin. I didn't believe it, so I began to drink lots of water. I'm on my 12th bottle since yesterday. I know that I'm trying to do 8 bottles a day. I still can't remember stuff, but I'm on it. You see, it does something to your skin. All of a sudden, people say, wow, you look younger in person. No, it's because I've been drinking water. It's really helped my skin. And I'm a guy. Anyway, it maintains normal bowel function for most people. Obviously, there are exceptions with different illnesses. It relieves fatigue. It actually helps get energy to those muscles. It improves your moods. Some people need the big bottle. Serve this brother because he can get moody. You think I'm joking? Water is life. And you know, after an accident, if you have bled for a while, you dehydrate. You only have so much blood before you lose your hydration. When people die of exposure, it's not just the cold, it's that they dehydrated. It's incredible to think about. And of all things, that's pretty exciting for me, water helps you lose weight because it helps you process and move the food right along. Nothing stays in the intestine to add to your weight. It's fascinating when you think of the power of water, and it flushes out toxins. Question, don't raise your hand, just your conscience. Are you drinking water? Don't. Well, I like my juice. I'm a man, I like my cranberry juice. Yes. Here's my counsel, ready? Tomorrow morning when you wake up, 2 cups of water before you do anything. That's not my idea. That's Ellen White's suggestion. She's sitting right here. We can interview her after the program. HMS Richard Sr., I got to meet him one day when I was younger. I went up to him. I said, "Sir, will you sign my Bible?" "Yes, young man. What's your name?" And he very slowly took his time with the HMS. And I'm like this, Richards. And I asked him, "Did you meet Ellen White?" That sounds rude, doesn't it? He says, "As a matter of fact, yes. He preached at New York camp meeting on the campus of USA. And I got to preach there, and I remembered that conversation." He says, well, he didn't preach. He was 10 years old. And Ellen White preached. And I said, "How was it?" "Well, she was quite along in years, so I don't recall her sermon being quite flashy, but it was when she prayed." "Sir, she prayed as if she knew him personally." And then he bends down, "Do you know him, young man?"
"But I want to."
All right, get out there, get to know him. And when you meet him, tell somebody else what you have seen. So how do I end every sermon? Tell others what you have seen. Guess who taught me that? HMS Richards, a secret. See, the book, The Leadership Secrets of Jose Rojas, will never be published because I'm giving all my secrets away publicly. Long before they get published, I figure it's time to give it all away so that we can all do this work together. Why should there only be a few of us? I'm going to be sharing with, if it's all right with you, you know why I said that, and then I'm going to share with you why I said it. It's not technique, it's not method, it's how the Holy Ghost uses us freely to share the gospel with a soul that is thirsty for righteousness. Water is life. John chapter 4, beginning with verse 2 and on, Jesus was in trouble because he was baptizing more people than John the Baptist had baptized. The Pharisees were upset. Then, of course, in parentheses it says, of course, Jesus himself was not baptizing. It was his disciples. And he told the men, it's time to go back to Galilee. And they had to go through the area called Samaria. The town of Sychar was up on top of the hill, and there was a well down at the bottom that was dug by Israel himself. Jacob himself dug this deep well. He had given this land to his son Joseph years earlier. And as Jesus and the disciples were coming through, the Bible says it was noonday, John chapter 4, verses 2 and onward. It was noon. How does it get at noon? Well, Alberta, I'm sorry. I know you guys think it's hot. Come to D.C. and melt with us for a little while. It's a steam bath. It really is. Because Washington, D.C. used to be a swamp. I think it still is. And the alligators work in Congress. I used to have an office in there. I was bitten several times. But that's another message. Brothers and sisters, Jesus stopped and told the guys, go up and buy some food. I'm going to rest right here by this well. Master, go get some food. Meanwhile, a girl comes down with a jug. Have you been to these countries? Men are not seen carrying a jug. That 20 kilos is on the head or shoulder of a 15-year-old girl. Sisters come down the hill like, have you ever noticed their arms? They're buffed. I carry the jug. And their lanky husbands up there, I don't carry jugs. Only women go down to the well. Two and three times a day, the morning water, the afternoon water, the evening water, the kids' bath, the breakfast, the lunch, the dinner, whatever it is, they have to go down to the well to get it. And when she got there, you know how it is with sisters. They can see anything, even when they're not looking. Like my daughters, I have a house full of women. Only a son amidst all these daughters and my wife, even the dog is a female. That's quoting my son. And women can see from the back of your heads. Oh, she's here. Don't look. What? She's back there. Don't look. How did you know she was here? You didn't even turn around. See, sisters have what's called women's intuition. For men, it's called neurophysiology. We can study hard and hopefully get a degree and maybe learn this much of what sisters were born with. So you don't argue with your wife, brother. You say, yes, ma'am. Yes, dear, or any like phrase, and drink lots of water. I had meetings at the UN, and I came and told my wife, I got to go to New York on Tuesday, and Secretary General wants us to present what we're doing as a denomination in these two countries. U.S. and Canada, we're one of the larger NGOs. ADRA will be there. Others will be there. We're going to make presentation on what the Seventh-day Adventist Church is doing worldwide. And I get to report on North American portion. And I said, I'm going to New York on Tuesday. And she said, no, you're not. The doorknobs, our little girl, she was 2 years old at the time. She locked herself in the room and couldn't open it. My wife couldn't open it. She began to panic and scream. And there's nothing worse than a child who's convinced they're about to die, has a panic. You know, it traumatizes you as a parent and makes you ashamed that it could have happened under your watch. And my wife says, you're going to fix my doorknobs. Babe, I have to go to New York. No, you have to go to Home Depot. And it was one of those husband and wife moments. You understand what I'm saying to you? Is that enough of an Adventist clue? She dug her heels. You're not going to New York. You're going to take care of the doorknobs. But babe, please, it's the Secretary General. I'm sorry. Your little girl cannot compete with this guy. But I would suggest maybe she's more important than he is. You know, she can get me to think. Here, have a glass of water. Improve thinking. You see how it works? She's learned. She's heard me preach. Anyway, long story short, she won. Right, ladies? You better believe it. That's how it is at my house. He may make a fuss and the back door, but he's going to obey. You know, he's well trained. And anyway, I stayed home that day, September 11. 2001. I was supposed to be eating breakfast on the North Tower at 8 a.m. And then I was to taxi over to the UN, listening to my wife save my life. Gentlemen, you listen to your wives. This is not a marriage enrichment seminar, but that enriched my marriage. Please take a testimony from a broken soul who understands that when my woman digs in her heels, just maybe the Holy Ghost is sitting on her to push me. You see, brothers and sisters, I learned that day that anything can happen. Jesus sat down. Anything could happen. And here comes this girl, and she sees him. She never looked once. It's a guy. Two problems. Legally, a Samaritan and a Jew cannot talk to each other unless it's business. Number two, a young man and a young woman cannot be alone in a desolate place for obvious reasons, social law. So two infractions are occurring as this woman drops her jug into the well. And Jesus speaks up, "Excuse me, can I have a drink? Are you talking to me?" "Well, there's no one else." No, he didn't say that, but that's what I would have said. But he looked at her and he says, "I'm thirsty." I mean, that's logical. "I'm thirsty. Can you give me something to drink?" "Well," and he says, "You know what? I can give you water that you will never thirst again. How are you going to give me water if you don't have a jug to drop to the bottom?" No. "You don't understand. Whoever drinks the water I give them will live eternally." "Oh, well, I'd like some of that water so I'll never thirst again and he can come down and get his own stuff." No, you're not understanding me. This water will transform you forever." And she says, "Well, you know, that's incredible. This, why don't you call your husband?" "Well, I'm single. I'm not married." "I know you're not married. The five men you've had, you weren't married, and the guy you're with right now is not your husband either. Society judges her as a terrible woman. Those of us who worked in community ministries understand that's a woman who has had six men lie to her and has been victimized by men. We don't just condemn victims. We minister to them. It's so easy to say, it's her fault. I had a brother get up in one of my prayer meetings on a Wednesday night. "I want to thank the Lord." And he said, "I was a womanizer for many years." We actually created a term for guys. It is a deplorable term. Womanizer? That's what I was for many years. And everyone, "And then I met the Lord and was baptized." Oh, amen. People actually shed tears. Amen. They were excited for him. Imagine a sister getting up. "I was a manizer for many years." But what happened to her? She'd be escorted out immediately. "I don't want my son near her." Why is it that our societies, and pretty much most societies on planet Earth, will shun a woman but will forgive a man? I have good news for you. God forgives both men and women. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you of how much? "I want that water." "Well, go call your husband." "Well," and then he knew everything. And she said, "I perceive that you are a prophet. You know, we believe that the Messiah, Mashiach, is going to come, the Anointed One. And He's going to teach us all things. In Jerusalem, they think that it's some kind of a military general who's going to come and liberate them. But we believe He's going to come here and teach us all things." And Jesus looks at her and He says, "I who speaks to you am He." You have to remember, up till now, whenever Jesus healed somebody, cast out a demon, He always said, "See that you tell no one. You are the Christ, see that you tell no one." But with her, "I who speaks to you am He. He identifies Himself. I am the water of life. Water is life. Christ in me, the hope of glory. See, Jesus is not cheap grace. He's the most expensive grace ever purchased. The life of God's only Son is not cheap. That He grants eternal life to him or her who asks, that is not cheap grace. That's what salvation looks like. He is the water of life. He can rejuvenate the circulation of faith through your veins. He can nourish the internal organs of your understanding. He can take this brain and make it go to places it has never been before. I am clear that I'm a nobody. But I don't know what God does when He blesses a brain. I found mine. It was lying out on the side. Some people, you really? Did you find? No. It was too big. I had to cut it to size. God can take any brain and bless it. Do you believe that? Really? Take hope. Take hope. Some have been addicted to mind-altering substances, and you feel terrible because of your journey. Take hope. He who forgives you can also restore your mind. It is true that tissue can be destroyed and never recover, but the brain has a way of compensating for what has been lost. God will bless us when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. The water gives us life. Without water, your faith will surely die. And a Christless religion is no religion at all. There are people who think that 28 fundamental beliefs are going to save them. I've learned them all. I've memorized them. I hate everybody, but I've learned it all. My brothers and sisters, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ that is understood in 28 fundamental ways. Christ in me, the hope of glory. We cannot have a Christless religion. He is the water of life. This girl ran up the hill, ran into town wildly. Jesus had plenty of water to drink. Her jug was sitting there full. He had his 8 glasses right there on the spot. Well, no, I don't suggest you. Water can intoxicate you if you drink too much at one time. There was a contest at a radio station in Cleveland where whoever drank the most water would win 2 tickets to something for their kids. And a young mom came in and she kept drinking glasses of water. They were counting them on the radio. She collapsed and died. You see, water is good for us. But don't waterlog yourself. See how fanaticism is? When you take a good thing too far. When you get stuck on one item. But Jesus is the water that will refresh your soul. My brothers and sisters, as she got up to the city, she says, I found him! You come and tell me if he's Mashiach. Tell me if he's the anointed one. Everyone says, he's 30-ish, handsome, tall. Another one. She's met another one. No! He told me everything I've done. And he still offered me the water of life. He did that. And the whole town, including the mayor, went down to see for themselves. Now imagine that. And the disciples came down with the food. Master, hurry, eat. They're coming. They're coming. Evangelism can scare you. When all these people start coming into our church, they might take the eldership away from us. Is that a little too strong? You're going to be afraid at the next nominating committee, aren't you? Good for you. It's time that something changes. Now, I'm not talking about Alberta Conference, that's your business between you and the Lord. But I again repeat, if the shoe fits, put it on. If the boot fits, put it on. That's eldership. Anyway, that's another subject. They came down and the disciples were afraid. And they said, hurry, Master, eat, eat. And Jesus said, that's my food. Now, I've had that happen to me two or three times in my 30-something years doing what I'm doing. I went to Virginia. I was in Richmond at an event at a convention center. I arrived on Friday evening to speak for Friday night, Sabbath morning, Sabbath afternoon, Saturday night, Sunday morning. They put me to work. When I arrived, immediately I was greeting people until the moment they were introducing me. I got up to preach. After I preached, I have spent time with people. If someone says, will you pray for me? You don't say yes. Everybody says yes. Then you go off and forget to pray before them. Especially if it was 30 people who said, will you pray for my son? Will you pray for my marriage? We can't pay the bills. I'll pray for you. Then you go off and forget it. So my policy is pray for my son. What's his name? And on the spot, we pray. We pray right now. So if you ask for prayer, you're asking for it. We're going to pray. That's how I believe. That's what God called me to do. It's time to act. It's time to do. Talk is cheap. So after the sermon Friday night, I got mobbed, prayed with lots of people, listened to broken hearts, talked hope, and my poor son was there. He went with me to play guitar. He plays better than me, and sometimes my kids travel with me. They're all guitarists. I don't know where they learned, but anyway, because I never gave them lessons. I think my wife taught them. Long story short, by the time my son and I got away, it was 1 in the morning. Even the pizza place was closed. So my son and I guess we're fasting, son. We went to bed sad. Sabbath morning, I had to get over to the 7 a.m. devotional before my 11 a.m. sermon. I get there, I preach, and breakfast is being served up the hall, and I got grabbed. Prayed with lots of folks, listened to broken hearts, testimonies of celebration. And it was time to start church service. Never got to eat breakfast. Church service ended. I told the conference secretary, do you mind getting me over to the calf? Sure, I'll get you there. An hour later, he was gone. He went to eat. Before you know it, it was time for the afternoon program. I still hadn't eaten. And so they put me up, they wound me up, turned me loose for another sermon. After the program, I had to get mean with people. Keep walking with me. I have to eat. And I finally got into the calf. They brought me a plate. And I listened to people and never got to eat. I had the joy of beholding a plate of fine vegetarian cuisine. But never could I nibble. Pastor, please pray. What happened? My son. And we started praying. Then this is private. I have to leave my plate and go over there and pray with her. Time for the evening meeting. I told my son, you're going to order the pizza, a jumbo family pizza for the two of us. I want a Caesar salad. I want a cranberry juice. I have only drank water since Friday. And he says, you, at least I broke out and had lunch while you were talking. So he had gotten into some food. I don't know how, but he made it. I got out of there after the evening meeting at 12:45. We ordered the pizza. It never arrived. The delivery guy got lost. And they said, we'll give you a free one tomorrow. I said, I'll be gone tomorrow. Oh, we'll recover your credit card cost. So now we're at Sunday morning. Got up to preach. And afterwards, I had to tell people, please, I haven't eaten breakfast since Friday. You've been eating it joyfully. Please let me go. Now, you need to pray for my husband. He's not listening. I can't take this marriage anymore. And my son talked to me, Dad, I'm concerned now. So am I. And then I remembered this passage. Jesus turned to the Samaritans coming down the hill. Master, hurry, eat. He says, they are my food. And it hit me that weekend. This is not something we want to repeat often. That weekend, the people were my nutrition. They are what nourished me. It was a weekend of fasting. I did not lose a single kilo. But I drank water. I had to really work on my breath, because you know when your stomach's empty, we're talking about industrial strength Listerine. Because when a fly goes by and dies violently in front of you, there's something wrong with your breath. Okay. Brothers and sisters, I'll never forget it. When the Holy Ghost comes down, something different occurs. Now, I praise the Lord that you guys have allowed me to eat. And I just think of Jesus that day, tells his disciples, they are my food. And for the next 2 days, Jesus holds what we now call a harvest series for the secular mind. Samaritans were so uniquely different culturally that the methods of Jerusalem would never work in Sychar. And at the end of the 2 days, the mayor of the city says, when we came down here, we came down because the testimony of this young woman. Now we have heard you for ourselves, and we too believe that thou art Mashiach. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. You have come to teach us all things. The water of life. Have you tasted that water, brother and sister? Have you? Have you tasted that water? There's no reason to be dehydrated. If your faith has dehydrated, it's time to rehydrate it. Take the water of Christ deep into your soul. Are you aware that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Being dehydrated is a dangerous condition. It will kill you. Drinking one or two glasses of water a day is not enough. Now, I'm not talking about sin. I'm not trying to make you guilty. It's just not enough. Drink water. Tomorrow morning, you're going to drink how many? Two glasses. When you first get up, it tastes terrible. It can't be cold. And it can't be hot. That's later on at breakfast. Lukewarm water. You're going to feel like, but you keep drinking. It's going to clean you out, and you're going to enjoy your breakfast. And then you're going to be drinking water throughout the day. Just work on that bottle for the next 2 hours and just keep doing that. Or grab another cup, two cups, and just keep doing that. My wife is at the point that she no longer drinks sodas or any of these things. She says, water is so delicious. I keep thinking it's soda. My wife thinks very clearly. She's very faithful with her water. She's even drinking water at night. What are you doing? Wait. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I like my water. And she rolls over again. Isn't that exciting? She's smarter than I am. Brothers and sisters, we need light as we go for the journey. You're going to need water for the journey. Do not go without Christ. If you are hydrated, you'll have plenty of water to share with someone else. I've noticed that the more I give away Jesus, the more Jesus there is in me. Never runs out. Give, and you'll freely receive. Give Him away. Talk is cheap. It's time to do something about it. Do you agree? I want to have a baptism this week. What do you say? Do you want to have baptism this week? By Wednesday, I've requested a baptistry be installed here. The Lord is going to call folks. There are folks who have never made that commitment to Jesus Christ. And He's going to call on you to enter water this week. Others who once knew Him, but because of some terrible experience, you walked away. This week, the Lord is telling you the place has not been the same without you. He's calling you back. You'll enter water as well. I believe these things because Jesus is coming soon. Does this make sense, church? As I sing this song, if you want the water of life, come forward that we might pray together and conclude this service. If you want the water of life to refresh your faith, come on up here as I sing this song.
Seems I've imagined Him all of my life as the wisest of all of mankind. But if God's holy wisdom is foolish to man, He must have seemed out of His mind. For even His family said He was mad. The priest said that He was to blame. God in the form of this strange young man could not have been perfectly sane. We in our foolishness thought we were wise. He played the fool and He opened our eyes. When we in our weakness believed we were strong, He became helpless to show we were wrong. So we follow God's own fool, and only the foolish can tell. Believe the unbelievable, come be a fool as well. So lay down your life for a carpenter's son, for a man there who died for a dream. You'll have the faith his first followers had, and you'll feel the weight of the beam. So surrender the hunger to say, I must know, the courage to say, I believe. For the power of paradox opens our eyes and blinds those who say they can see. We in our foolishness thought we were wise. He played the fool and He opened our eyes. When we in our weakness believed we were strong, He became helpless to show we were wrong. So we follow God's own rule, and only the foolish can tell. Believe the unbelievable, come be a fool as well. Come be a fool as well.
Receive the water of life. This is a thirsty world. People have dehydrated years ago. It's amazing what happens when it stops raining, how it ravages the land and kills the animals, the plants, and everything that surrounds them. We need a refreshing. We have been promised a latter rain of the Holy Ghost, a water that will not only refresh us in a revival and reformation, not to continue to do the same things and expect new results, but to rise to God's ideal. Are you ready for that water? Do you want that water? Are you going to try your two glasses tomorrow morning? It's scary for some of you. Others of you have been doing it for 47 years. Amen. Keep it up. Let's bow our heads together. Father in heaven, thank You for the water of life. The girl in Samaritan, the Samaritan girl that day, Lord, met you personally and you offered her a water in which she would never thirst again. We want that water too. Grant us a filling of water that circulates through the veins of our faith, that reinvigorates every aspect of who we are as Christians, that sends, Lord, oxygenated faith into our minds that we can develop the mind of Christ to do and to will as He has called us to do. Enough talk, O Lord. It's time to do. So right now, pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us. You have called us to go. We have light for the path and water for the journey. We pray in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Stand everyone together. Look at me just one more time. Just look at me one more time. Go. Tell someone what you have seen. Go in peace.